I urge then that prayers be made for kings and all who are in high positions. When Paul wrote these words to Timothy about kings and about people in authority, Timothy knew that he was writing to him about the government. He was speaking to him about those who were in government in his land and at his time, those who held positions of ruling authority. He knew there was a king, and he knew there were people who had authority in the land. And he knew that was the case because God had ordained that it should be. It is God's purpose that there is a government at every place and at every time. And so the words that Paul wrote to Timothy about his day and his place are words that are for us in our day and in our place. It's about the government. Now, maybe government seems a bit remote to us. We're not really on first name terms with the Prime Minister. We may not be able to name every member of the cabinet. We don't have access to the corridors of power. We're not involved in the discussions around the table at 10 Downing Street. They don't sit there and wonder, as they discuss the National Health Service, what do the people in Newton Ard's RP Church think about this? They may not even know there is a little town called Newton Ard's and a little building in the middle of it. But actually, we have a crucial part in the government of this nation. And we have that crucial part because a way of access has been opened by which we are able to come to the one who put the government in its place and who set it there. And we are able to pray to him to work in the lives of those who are kings and in high position. We have a crucial part to play because we can come on behalf of this government in this day to the King of all the kings and to the Lord of all the lords. And we can speak with him about our government. There is an urgency here. I urge then that prayers be made for kings and all in authority. There is a priority here. I urge then that first of all, prayers be made for kings and all in authority. So how are you getting on in your praying for Theresa May? And how have you been doing last week as you've prayed for the cabinet? And what petitions have risen up from your heart to heaven about Ards and North Down Borough Council? Or is it perhaps that, like me, you need again to hear this urging? I urge that prayers be made. So let's look this morning at this part of the chapter, praying for the government. They're not the only people we pray for, of course, but let's look in this passage at what it means to pray for the government. First of all, we are to pray, our praying is to be thoughtful. Praying is not routine. It's not repetition. It's not automatic. It is always to be thoughtful. And so Paul uses here four different terms, you'll notice, to emphasize to us that as we pray, our praying is to be thoughtful. The first term is supplication. I urge that supplications. To make a supplication is to recognize that here is something that only God can deal with. Here are things which men cannot cope with in themselves. Here are answers needed which are beyond the capacity of the wisest heads in the nation. Supplication reminds us that there are issues which only God can deal with in our land. But it reminds us too that we may come to Him with real confidence, knowing that He is able to provide the very help for which we're asking. That's true when you're praying for that friend who's struggling with a really difficult issue in their lives at the moment. And that's true as you're praying for that neighbor who's been confronted with some difficult news. And it's true when you're praying for Mrs. May and her cabinet. You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring. For His grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. We make supplication. But Paul says praying also involves being engaged in worship. You cannot pray without at the same time being engaged in worship. Praying is a worshipful thing. And so he comes on to the next word, supplication, prayers. Remember, as you bring these requests to heaven, remember always to have a spirit of devotion and of reverence before the Lord your God. And always come reverently bowing in worship before Him. Always come with the awareness that you can only come because a new and living way has been opened for you in the Lord Jesus. Make supplication. Come reverently. And then the third term he uses is intercession. A pleading, an earnest, sincere, heartfelt, burdened pleading for the people who are on your hearts. There's never to be anything formal or ordinary or routine as you pray for those in authority. You are interceding for them. And we understand intercession, don't we? Because we are being interceded for. Jesus lives to intercede for us. And then the final element in this praying for those in government is thanksgiving. Supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. What is it that will make you thankful as you draw aside to pray for those who are in authority? What will prompt in your heart a spirit of thanksgiving? Well, certainly that there is a government in the land. That is a blessing from heaven. God is kind to us. He has placed over us a legitimate government, and in His providence, there are those who are in authority. Because the letter to the Romans says there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. And He is pleased through those whom He appoints in government to send blessing into the land. The blessing of freedom to worship. The blessing of liberty to read his word, the blessing of being able to purchase good Christian books, and of course today the blessing of having been delivered from being overrun by fearful, tyrannous enemies. As we pray for those in authority, our praying is to be thoughtful. But secondly, our praying is to be specific. These prayers are to be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. Well, all people, of course, cannot mean everybody without exception, because we don't know everybody without exception. But it does mean everybody without distinction, that we're not to restrict the kind of people for whom we pray. Yes, I must pray for my family, but not only for my family. And yes, I must pray for my congregation, but not only for my congregation. And yes, I must pray for the missionaries that I actually know, but not only for those missionaries that I actually have met. We are to pray without distinction. But let's notice that the request, the direction is specific. Pray for kings and all who are in authority. Pray for those whom God has set over you, in your government, in your police force, in your council, and as your headmaster, for all who hold high position. Whoever may hold that office, whatever color the government is, and whatever kind of man the mayor may be. And isn't it abundantly plain that those in authority need the prayers of Christ's church? Kings and all who hold high position have a great and heavy responsibility, and they don't have the wisdom in themselves that they need. All those difficult decisions, all those insurmountable problems, they don't have the wisdom. They need the people of God to be praying for them. And not only is it that they don't have the wisdom, it's also that they are weak in themselves and imperfect men and women. And right now that seems very evident, does it not? So we have a government which is in many ways in turmoil. And we have two cabinet ministers who have just resigned, admitting that their lives are not equivalent to what is expected of someone in authority. And we have a scandal racing around Westminster of inappropriate behaviour, and we have a Stormont where no one seems to know what can possibly ever be done. And if there is a day when there is a need for the people of God to be praying for those in authority, it is this day. But there's another reason why we must pray for them. Because those in authority need to know that they themselves are under authority, and that they are accountable not to you and me, but they are accountable to the King of Kings. And so you see, we need to pray specifically, don't we? for those who are in authority, because they don't have the wisdom, and they aren't perfect. And they need to realize their accountability. They need the Church of Christ to be praying for them, because there is the awful and frightening possibility that they never pray for themselves. And North Down and Ards Borough Council next Monday week is about to discuss whether there is such a thing as prayer or not. So Paul says, it is you in the church to whom this calling is given. Pray for kings and all who are in authority. So, brothers and sisters, how are we doing in our praying for Theresa May? And how are we doing in our petitions for the Queen? And children, how are you doing in praying for your headmaster? We are to pray. Our praying is to be thoughtful. It is to be specific. Thirdly, it is to be purposeful. What is the answer that we long to see as we pray for kings and all who are in authority? What is the answer that we would rejoice to see? Well, Paul says, pray for them so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. So that there will be peace and quiet in the land. That there will not be a breakdown in law and order. That conditions in society will be such that those who are seeking to live godly lives in the Lord Jesus will be helped to do that. That the authorities will uphold law and order and maintain peace on the streets and restrain wickedness so that those who long to live a godly life will not be hindered in doing it. Because when there's turmoil and division, when there are tensions boiling over and there's unrest on the streets, it is a hindrance to those who long to live a godly life. In these circumstances, it becomes more difficult as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not impossible, not impossible, but more difficult. External circumstances, turmoil, can be a hindrance to us, and we know that. It's not that long ago that there were people who wanted to live a godly life by coming to worship in the evening, but who were afraid to go out the door because the streets were not safe places to be after dark. And so Paul says, pray for those in authority so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. Outwardly peaceful and inwardly quiet. You see, isn't it the fact that when there's unrest out there, it's very easy to become agitated and disturbed. It's very easy to be tempted to give way to angry thoughts. Pray then specifically. And the answer to look for is a quiet and peaceable outward land. Because we do not want anything to hinder us in any unnecessary way from living faithfully as followers of the Lord Jesus. Pray that there will be peace and quiet so that we may lead a dignified, a godly and dignified life. Isn't that a beautiful description? Isn't that a simple beautiful description of what a Christian citizen will look like, godly and dignified. Isn't that a beautiful, simple description of what a Christian pupil will look like in the school community, godly and dignified? There isn't much dignity about. There isn't much dignity in the way people tweet each other. There isn't much dignity in the things that are posted on Facebook often. But we are called to be distinctive. And to be distinctive is to lead a godly, dignified life. And what is that? It's a life that reflects the beauty and the glory and the grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for those who are in authority. And let your praying be thoughtful. Let it be specific. And let it be purposeful. And let it always be joyful. Because here's the thing. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior. When we pray like this, when we live a godly, dignified life, wonder of wonders, this is good and pleasing to God, our Savior. And isn't that what you want to do? He has saved you. He has reached down and saved you. And what do you want to do? You want to live in a way that is pleasing to him and in a way that he calls good. And here is the wonder that somehow, in his gracious purpose and mighty power, he uses that simple response in our lives to make the gospel known. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How powerful that is. How amazing that is. That as we feebly attempt to do the thing we know that is pleasing to God, he is pleased to use that to hold forth the truth of the gospel, to make it known so that lost men and women may come to hear the knowledge of the gospel, to hear the truth, and to come to know the Savior. Pray for the government. Let your praying be thoughtful, specific, purposeful, and joyful. And don't we actually live at a time that is, in many ways, peaceful and quiet? What a blessing that is. We're able to come this morning. We're able to come this evening. There's no unrest on the streets that's keeping us away. There's nothing that's barring the door to us. We can carry our Bible with us without fear of being arrested. Isn't that a blessing that we live in such a day? Let's be thankful for it more and more. But if this morning you are not a Christian, then you need to know What a blessing it is to you to live in days like this, when the truth, the great saving truth of the gospel, is freely made known and you can hear it. And you need to know that this is the day of salvation, so that on this day, as you hear this truth and learn about the one mediator between God and man, who is Christ Jesus, you will come to him. Because this is the day that God has given us, where there is peace and quiet, so that we may listen and hear and believe and be saved. So how are we doing in praying for kings and all in authority? Amen.